Homo in Le Training. I am Jay Daye, and Leslie is around here somewhere living her life, but we're a variety show, changes topics every week, and this week we're back for some thoughtful shit with our one and only true love, Mr. Casey. And last thoughtful moment we had with him, we talked about his experience in Palestine and what that was like actually being on the ground over there. And this week, you know, our conversation started talking about social media support of these political unrest going on in the world. So I have a very complicated relationship with sharing things online. I mean, we'll get into it, but I get a little emotional and I get a little defensive because, you know, it's just really hard when it comes to doing the right thing. And I don't know, there are a lot of battles I have within myself that are just really complicated for me that I hope that some people might be able to resonate with. But also, I hope that a lot of people resonate with what Leslie and Casey have to say, because yeah, like a post cannot mean something to one person, but to a lot of other people, it could mean a lot. So I don't know, we get into this really nuanced conversation about posting and showing your support for things and what does that look like. And it gets pretty hot and heavy, but at the end, I think that we all come to an agreement that like we all just need to do our part in being aware of the injustices in the world and being active about doing something about it. Because as privileged Americans, you know, we don't have to deal with things like famine or war. Like, yeah, we're constantly fighting wars that are unnecessary, but like it's not happening in our backyard, you know? So there are a lot of things that we take for granted, and yeah, we just gotta do our part, you know what I mean? So keep boycotting, posting, donating, emailing, bitch, just do something, all right? Free Palestine.
You asked me off the record how I kind of came to know about it, so I can add my two cents in there, but like, why care? Like, the fact that Jay kind of didn't know about it, right, and a lot of people still don't know about it, is it privilege to know about it? Like, for you to have known about it, like, young, and then for me to kind of find out about it, like, in the last 10 years of my life, like, what is, like, what do we call that?
I mean, it is privilege. If we're able to take time to focus and educate ourselves on a topic of substantial merit that has minimal entertainment quality, minimal sustenance quality, minimal grind quality, that must be privilege. Mm-hmm. A lot of people cannot allocate time or resources to learn about it unless they're on the front lines experiencing it. Mm. But I think for me personally, like, we did talk about this a little bit. Yes, I was experimenting with the proto ideas of solidarity because of my heritage, but also I took personal interest in researching these topics. Meaning that for me, at some point in time, no matter how toxic it sounds, it was a form of entertainment. It's something I sought out in order to pass time, to learn about the world. And once I learned, then I really cared. So it evolved into something positive, but it did come from a place of diversion and privilege. And not everybody is that person, right? Mm-hmm. Most people are so cooped up in their privilege that they just never took the curiosity to see really what's going on. Mm-hmm. And start really analyzing things.
Yeah, I agree, because I genuinely don't look at things that make me upset. Like, it's genuinely not easy for me to see things that really viscerally upset me. Like, even, like, you know, back when they were talking about, like, the kids in the cages and stuff, even, like, things like that, like, I couldn't even see the videos or see, like, the pictures because it was just too, you know, and, like, even with Palestine now, like, I have Twitter. Sometimes, bitch, I'll be scrolling and then they'll just be like the most graphic thing of like these people holding like literal deceased children in their hand. And I'm just like triggered because I just like, I don't know. I just avoid.
It's hard to see.
It's hard to see, you know? And I don't know, like, do both of you feel like, do you like looking up like all these things? Like, how do you like find out all this stuff? Because like, I feel like I don't really look up. I mean, I love looking up science and things like that, but like, I don't really look up apartheids.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew Nelson Mandela because I honestly, I thought he was really cute. So I was like kind of into it. So it got me.
What am I going to do?
But you never, so let's touch on that a little bit. So you thought he was cute. Great. Good looking guy.
Well, wait, but now you know about it.
Now you know about it.
You took a diversionary interest, but it led to being about, like, more woke on something.
But did you do that? Like, when you're like, oh, who is this guy? Did you not Google him and be like, where he's from? Is he in California? Like, where can I hit him up? And not see, like, the leading founder and leading reason for helping South Africa kind of come.
And apartheid.
I knew bits and pieces of his life. I didn't know.
Color of Friendship.
Color of Friendship. genuinely. And, like, just that Naomi Campbell. You know what I mean? Like, people that were close to him, like, I knew about things that he did because they would speak about it. Not because, like, I saw a documentary. It was, like, because people...
Well, that's an example of a successful activist, no? They reached you.
I don't know if that's successful because if it wasn't for Naomi Campbell being an activist, then I probably wouldn't. You know what I mean? Things like that. Like, entertainment-wise, I don't think I would have known about these things if there wasn't a movie about it. If there wasn't,
right.
like, not to say that I didn't know about Katherine Johnson, but the, oh, fuck, what's that movie called?
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, like, reinvigorate, like, oh, wait, like, yeah, this bitch, not once a bitch, you know.
Respectfully,
this bitch is fucking badass. Good
friend of mine.
Yeah, like, she was great, you know? So then, you know, I learned even more about her, you know? But, like, I don't know. If it's not in media or media-related, it's hard for me to. And media, I mean pop culture media.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not shallow of you because... That's storytelling, you know, and that's what we're doing. Even if the stories are true, it's still storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say we lived in ancient times where there wasn't a division between this is educational storytelling versus recreational storytelling. They were one of the same or they were ambiguous.
Mm.
That's how we learn about what's going on and what's important regardless. Mm-hmm. And we are so consumed by media, which... People will criticize celebrities for taking stances on things, which they're not experts. If you're seeking an expert, be real about it and find an expert.
Mm-hmm.
Or if a movie will have a political moral narrative or something deep down inside, if we didn't continue doing that thing that we've always done, where would it happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Naomi Campbell exposing you to that is one example of her being a successful activist for this topic because she reached you. Now you know about it.
Well, yeah, and like now I feel even more dumb because even I was telling Leslie how Princess Diana was pro-Palestine as well, and I love Princess Diana. So it's just like things like that. Like it's for me. Like I don't get invested in something unless I like I hear about it through some sort of
someone
you're listening to. Like, you know, me and Leslie went to this talk where they talked to us about like Black Wall Street and how it's like a part of Tulsa that got bombed by like the government, you know, whatever. We watched Lovecraft Country, which is a really good show, but I feel like if I didn't go to that talk and then I watched Lovecraft Country, I would have then been like, wait, what? Tulsa Massacre? Like, what is this? And I would have been then done the research to see what actually happened and things like that, you know? So, yeah, I do think that media does, I mean, I don't know. But sometimes it's over-dramatized that you don't really know
right.
what is the actual truth of the situation.
Like, it can expose you. But if you're seeking expert opinions, they're out there.
Yeah, but why did you guys, like, do that, though? Like, why? Because there's no media. There's no, like, podcasts. You know, you guys don't listen to these true crime podcasts, you know?
Well, for Leslie, I kind of want to add to the question. Like, a big part of liberation movements, there's Latino liberation movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the dichotomy of oppressor and oppressed in the context of Latinos as well. When did you, like, you know, become aware of those narratives and really saw it was important and to learn about it?
And thank you, Dan. I'll answer Jorge's quickly because then I think it'll add to your question that you're asking me, Casey. So for me, I honestly think it's how Casey presents it where at first it was a diversion. It was more just to like consume. And then he found kind of a segue and deeply got invested, which then turned to care and it's like compassion. I don't fully resonate with it, but I understand that. I 100% understand that. And so I think for me, it's mostly when I started, right, I told my little story about like I graduated and, you know, I'm an adult so I can kind of find what resonates with me, what doesn't, X, Y, and Z. I found a lot of like struggle, right, which ties into the liberation movement. And I found that, you know, that I just like my struggle was not alone in my identity and the intersections that make me and my family and all the people around me. And so being able to see like other countries and other populations and diasporas where I saw like deep, deep struggle and a lot of hurt and just like a lot of cruelty going around is, I think it was, what it invoked in me is just like a lot of caring. Like I want to be able to articulately be able to have these conversations, whether I'm deeply immersed in it and I know everything, or I can touch on it briefly and be like, oh, I know about that. Like, I know that that happened. Like, that's really fucked up. Like, you know, and it's like, oh, who's behind it? You know, ding, ding, ding. Right. And so I think for me, it's always been important to be in the know. I don't know if that stems out of just wanting to be a know-it-all. So that could be possibly
that's
like...
That's the diversionary.
Yeah, that possibly could be like, I want to be in part of these conversations. During the end of my college years, I was really pulled in from a lot of like activism work and a lot of people, you know, being on the front lines, just like really advocating, and like was inspired by like the Black Panthers and like what they were doing in San Francisco, the programs, the free library, the free food, and all this kind of tied right into me and be like, geez, like that's like a life worth living. Like that's being in service. And for me, it felt like the way that I could really go about it first, not only because I have a lot of experience working with the different populations that have opened my eyes in different ways, but in the nonprofit sector, but for me, it was to be informed and to have education, you know, because then I thought I could connect more to people. And really, it's like, okay, if we're going to struggle, I'm going to understand the suffering, not because I'm experiencing it, but because I care deeply that it's happening. And so I think for me, yeah, it was, yeah, probably a little bit of diversion. Like, I want to know. I want to be in the know. And I just seem like I don't care about the USA at all. So I was like, I want to care about other things. And so I think with the Latinx liberation and all of that, when I've looked into the movements of, you know, Mexico City and the Zapatistas, and I also then started doing my own, like, Mexican communism, like, what does that look like in Mexico? And what does that look like in South America, which is then I connected, like, all these coups, you know, and anytime South America could get, like, really to a thriving socialist environment, we always happen to have a coup, you know. And so my studies in undergrad prepared me to do a lot of work on my own after about research, like coups, like socialism, like communism, like what, like actually capitalism. And I've always also been pro-Cuba. And so then I dived into all of that. Like, I was really, really just doing a lot of work in terms of like understanding the Che Guevara movement and understanding, you know, everything that he did for the Cuban Revolution and how he's actually seen as someone very problematic. And so,
yeah,
for a lot of horrible, bad things that he did. And, but then that is also similar to, you know, in Mexico, like you see a lot of these icons or these individuals like back then that did a lot of those movements, Zapatista movements, the only one that keeps coming up, but, you know, had very much ideals of like, yeah, the indígenas, you know, we need to have the power. Indigenous people need to have the power by the people for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that every kind of country or every kind of marginalized community has had those movements, right? Of like trying to uproot, like, this is fucked up. And it all ties together, you know. I guess for me, I know it's very intertwined. And for me, I also... because of the colonization that happened in Mexico City and that the settlers going on and about, I know that there's a lot of intersections between the Middle East and Mexico. And so, and I know that there's a lot of intersections actually between religious Catholicism and Islam. And so that also, I think, really pulled me in knowing that, like, these are my brothers and sisters, you know, and...
solidarity.
So, yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know. Now saying it out loud, yeah, I I guess I relate exactly to what you're saying. I guess. Et tu brute.
Et tu brute. I think it's just when you use the word entertainment,
it sounds ugly because
it's kind of it. Because that's not what you're saying.
Et tu brute. But I think always there's been this drive of like, people deserve so much better. And understanding like what's going on in Palestine makes me really, really sad, because I also understand, you know, what the indigenous people are still experiencing in Mexico City, like in more of like the southern states, like Oaxaca, and you have Puebla and all of the southern states, and how they continue to fight the good fight, you know, against the government in Mexico. And then you have like, you know, you have Chile, Argentina, Peru, you know, you have all those countries still kind of fighting their own super far right, like governments and movements over there, still fighting the fight. And so, which is all really still connected to just liberation.
When did you realize, or how old were you and how, that you were oppressed?
Oppressed?
She's depressed.
She's pressed.
She's pressed.
She's panini pressed, girl.
It was probably like my second big girl job. I was working as an HIV case manager, which is actually like interesting to say. I found out I was oppressed working with a population that's so marginalized. But I think working in that position really jolted me to do a lot of the research that I've mentioned that I did. And I think that position was instrumental for me because I worked with a lot of people that would share stories, right? And that had different identities. And I think it was kind of like a mirror for me. So I must have been like 22. And I think working with those communities was a mirror for me, more so because of how humbling for me it was to be able to serve those people. And not those people, but serve those communities, to be allowed to work with them and to see how hard they would fight, you know, to live like a life that they felt was worth living for them, aside from like their status and their health, but other intersections, you know, immigrants, undocumented or struggling with substance use, mental health, unhoused, multiple things occurring, and just seeing them like really, really fight and work so hard, you know, made me kind of like think about me and like who I am as a person, which I think, right, like fueled, like, I need to do better. Like, I need to know how to help people. And if I have privilege, which I do, how can I use that? But I think by working with them, it was a mirror for me because I was like, you know, I was the only Spanish speaking case manager. And I was the only, I think, Latina in the department. For sure.
In Kansas City?
Yeah, in that department, yes. Mm-hmm. Not in the clinic itself, but the department for sure. Yeah, in Kansas City. So I think it had me asking myself a lot of questions of like how I was viewed and how I was seeing myself and how did I show up and did I have a seat at the table, you know, sort of type of thing. And what did that look like and why was it meaningful to me and why does it matter? And a lot of things that come up, like a lot of questions that come up when I think you realize like, oh, like, I'm not a part of, like, the overall USA American, you know, individual that you kind of just think you see. I'm actually a different part. And it wasn't because I was made to feel that way, but I identified so much with the people that I was working with directly. And I think you really can't do that if you don't have a lineage of resiliency and oppression running through you, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I really care deeply about Palestine, and I was telling Jay, and you listened to it, gut-wrenching. Like, I get wet in tears. I'm this close. Like, I can't even imagine. And to think that this is still gonna happen, like, still gonna happen, like, I don't know, like, when this is gonna end. And feeling kind of like helpless, I think. And so getting like your POV of like, how are you doing to take care of yourself? Because you were quite literally there. And this may be triggering, but do you think about where you were there in 2018 and the fact that doesn't exist, potentially.
Like, it might not exist tomorrow?
Yeah. Because, like, where you were at, like, the West Bank is, has also been, like, completely, like, bombed. Like, what is left of the West Bank?
I mean, a lot is left.
Of the West Bank.
But it's, like, Cop City times 10. It's police, military police brutality is, like, it's cranked up to 10 because of the so-called war on Gaza, the genocide. There's a lot left, but there's a lot of suffering, too.
Okay.
I forgot to say something in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes hard to talk about Palestine because Palestinians cannot return. And I wanted to acknowledge mm-hmm. my privilege in being able to go there and witness things and then bring the knowledge back.
Mm-hmm.
Right of return for Palestinians is something that I believe in. If people mm-hmm. want to talk about, you know, what do we ask for on the behalf of Palestinians, right of return to Palestine is one of those things, including the abolition of Israel as a state,
mm-hmm.
Ceasefire and the siege,
mm-hmm.
abolition of Israel, free Palestine, right of return, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that means genocide the Jews.
By the way.
By the way.
In case you heard any of us, you got mixed in there.
Yeah.
There was a genocide word thrown in there, or Jews. I know I mentioned Jewish earlier, but that was in a different context. Right. Yes, absolutely. Rite of passage in that. They have full, they get full support to go home.
Yeah, I mean, it is really sad because I have friends there now that I have bonded with, and it is hard to catch up with them and hear what they're going through and what peers they've lost recently. It is really sad. And in terms of, like, there's not much we can do on the ground because, quite frankly, we're poor Americans. You know, like,
it's true.
The United States is classified as developed nations, but there's part of the country that's still developing.
We're actually really broke ass.
That's us, girl. We're developing.
Like.
We're broke. That's what developing means. Being really broke, girl. So, in terms of, you know, writing to your representatives and your senators and calling your representatives and your senators and faxing them, but also people are like, why share the carnage on social media?
Yeah.
The journalists on the ground, because CNN is not there, Fox News is not there, nobody of the major news networks are sharing the journalists on the ground's content. They're asking us to share on our stories the day by day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you'll see my Instagram story change each day to all Palestine content, because it's the day by day from the journalists. They're asking that of us. So even if we don't understand on a systemic level how that changes or affects anything, they're asking that from us, rich as, you know, citizens of the United States, cushy in our little apartments, they're asking that of us.
Yeah.
And if we care, we got to do it. And it is hard, and you have to do it in a way that's sustainable for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't have to be mojigatas. You don't have to be clutching your pearls. Take your deep breaths. Post you gotta post. Know what you care about. Wrap it all up with a write your senator to end the ceasefire, end the siege on Gaza. Stop funding Israel, free Palestine. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's, as a democracy, that's what we're being asked to do.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that, Jay? Because I know that you say white posts since I never post anything. Like, I never posted about Black Lives Matter. Doesn't mean I don't support it, don't believe in it, and don't believe that, like, stop fucking killing Black people. Like, what the fuck? So you are like, why post now? Like, you have, like, a concern, I think, or you, I don't know, I don't think it's a concern, but you're like, you don't want to seem performative. You don't want to seem kind of like, oh, he's come out of the woodworks, all of a sudden he cares about Palestine. So is it more about, like, what people think, or, yeah, kind of what is it?
Pretty much that. I mean, I feel very performative when I join in on things. Like, we talked about it on Ella's episode, Thanks for Your Concern, about, like, when the Black Lives Matter happened, you were supposed to, like, black out your picture. Like, I don't know. I just don't see solidarity things like that really working for me. Because, yes, I have an Instagram, but, like, I'm not popping on there. I'm not, like, out there. People watching my stories, like, it's not that type of thing. It's just there because J-Lo follows me. That's literally the only reason why I have my Instagram. And, you know, we talk about it on the podcast and, like, you know, boycotting. Like, I feel like that's really the only thing that I can...
Oh, right, boycotting.
That I can...
Should have mentioned that earlier.
That I can do. It's like, I feel like I want to take steps to be more proactive, because I don't want to seem like I just jump on every train of a political thing. But also, I don't really care what people think about me. So that's why I also don't care to, like, kind of let people know, like, this is, like, change my thing to, like, a Palestinian flag. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I have to say, like, boycott so-and-so. But, like, if I know an artist that's performing in Tel Aviv, then I can probably be like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to support that artist, or maybe I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And until J-Lo does it. But if J-Lo does it, then I might have to give her a pass on that.
Girl, we're cutting this.
She has to make her money. She's coming out with her new album, okay? And it's a movie. So don't. It's going through the ages of music. You don't understand.
No, you make a good point with the blackout for Black Lives Matter, because I remember some activists complaining that the flood of black pages with hashtag Black Lives Matter had diluted the hashtags.
Drowned.
Yeah. Right, so people couldn't actually find activists' posts. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking, you're actually bringing up a really good point. So here's a teaching moment. If you're taking individual action, you could be genuinely expressing your belief in something, but if it's an individual in action, you aren't working in a group, and your individual action is essentially powerless. In addition to that, once you have a whole group of people taking individual action, it can actually be destructive. It's really important, if you care about a topic, to identify an organizer, an activist, build trust with them by following them for a certain amount of time, and follow their lead.
Yeah, I see this girl's TikTok. Her name is also on Instagram, which everyone follows her except for you. Kind of problematic.
Leslie.
Even your sister follows her and you don't.
Oh, Bassan?
Yeah. Wizard_Bassan1. She is amazing. She has been posting a lot of stuff, but she's like on the ground. She's there. She posts a lot of stuff in Arabic, which I cannot read, but there is a lot of English translations.
She's a journalist.
So. Yeah, so I think just finding those two, I think, can help. I don't know. I guess I see what you do. Like, I respect what you do, but also, like, not to be, like, a pessimist, but I'm also kind of like, okay, but how many people, like, probably exit your stories? They're just like, okay, yeah. There's too many people. There's, like, too much. Like, it's the same thing every day. Not to say that you should stop or discourage you, but I always think about all of the things that people might be thinking before I post it, right? It's like okay, so, well, I'm going to post this, and then she's going to be like, oh, here's another... It's another Palestine thing, you know, and I don't know. And I'm also not active on my Instagram like that. Like, I'm really not. Like, don't ever get on, unless I have, like, a really funny meme. That's, like, the only thing I post.
It's true that, like, a lot of people won't finish my stories. I do notice who watches them all through, because I look at the analytics.
Yeah, and the analytics tell you when they swiped away, bitch, when they go back, when they went forward.
I mean, I know who the real ones are, to be honest. When looking on there...
Is Leslie what?
This is cool. This is the real one.
Yeah, I look.
Share full receipts.
I literally look at all this stuff, and I'm gonna finish your thought because I'm gonna go back to it.
Finish your fucking thought.
Don't yell at me.
What was I saying?
You're saying that you acknowledge that.
Oh, right. What you're saying would be true if I was doing it alone. If I was the only one, it would be a really sad, you know, venture trying to reach the skies. Mm-hmm. But there's reasons why we're being asked to do these things. One of the things is affecting the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Instagram is anti-Palestine right now.
Yeah, our posts were being censored.
Mm-hmm. So everything we post is another equation added to the algorithm.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a whole bunch of reasons. I'm not an expert, but I try to follow the lead of activists who I trust have done these things. But you're right, individual action is impotent, unfortunately.
It can be futile. I've heard about the algorithm thing. It's kind of another, like, it glitches the matrix, basically, because the more that we post, the more it's, like, people that won't normally run into this information and run into, like, oh my gosh, this post or whatever, which goes back to my question, like, are people just dumb? Like, people just aren't looking into anything that's what's going on. The hope is that with something that Casey's sharing or something that I may post somehow makes it into that person because one time they looked at my page or something.
Yeah,
right?
But it's also worthy news. It's truth-telling.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is. And it's documenting.
Right.
You know?
And now I know, like, people can check my story if they're curious to catch up on what's good.
It's true. That actually works because I'm not an active poster in stories or whatever, but I have made it really clear what my stance is. Because anytime that I can, even if it's unrelated to, like, Palestine.
Yeah. If she puts, she'll put a picture of a coffee and put hashtag pro-Palestine, it's like,
there Love we go. It.
Yes, because it's like, don't ever get it twisted. So,
yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. And the hope is that, yeah, that someone will, that follows me will be like, why does bitch keep posting about Palestine? But, it's true what Casey says, because I know I can always go to his stories and you actually have really, really good information of accounts that I've never ran into that are posting really incredible things about Palestine or just things that the normal, I guess, like person, like wouldn't care to know about, like breaking down like certain things, like, you know, this is what's happening here. Actually, you shouldn't say this word, say this instead. So I like those posts. So thank you. Thank you for posting.
Thanks.
Why I don't follow Bassan.
Yeah.
I don't follow any of the journalists because, as Casey mentioned, it has to be sustainable for you. And I actively go and check their pages, though. Mm. I check Motaz, and I was checking, I check Bazan's. I check a lot of, like, the major Palestinian pages, like All Eyes on Palestine, all of these other pages that I know are constantly providing. And I check them daily to see what's going on. Sometimes I take little breaks because the fact that it's like 25,000 people now that have been murdered, with 70% of them being women and men, is crazy to me. And so I personally take a little like mental breaks because I, as I mentioned, I really deeply identify with the struggle. It absolutely breaks my heart. I have kind of forced myself to see some of these videos that are very graphic. To just, it's the least that I can do, really, is what I think. And it absolutely just is so, so sad. And I don't know, just when, like, there was phosphorus and, like kids had, like, horrible burns. And there's not even any, like, morphine or pain medication or anesthesia. And I just really try relating to, like, holding space for it, I guess, basically. So that's why I don't follow her, because I know she posts a lot.
A lot.
And I'm a little squeamish, not an excuse for anything, but it's why I don't follow some of them, because I know that some of them post really, really graphic stuff. But I check it daily, and I actually did repost some of her stuff.
Yeah, I can see the importance of posting graphic things, but I just, I don't know. I just, like, don't want to see it. Like, I can't. Like, even, like, when they were doing, like, the cop, where, like, people were getting killed by cops and stuff and, like, having it on video. Like, I just, like, couldn't watch stuff like that. Even though, like, I knew it was happening and it was important for me to know. I don't know. It's just, like, so hard to see things like that. To see such destruction and such dismay. And children. Like, it's so sad.
It is important to know, but it's also important to feel.
Yes.
Because if...
But I feel too much.
Because if we're not...
I'm an empath.
Feeling it, we're not... He's an empath. If we're not feeling it, we're not upset. If we're not upset, we're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But also for, like, back to, like, the doing what the activists say, I do remember, like, a call to follow the Palestinian journalists, whether or not you watch their stories, because they were correlating that once they pass a certain threshold of followers, they aren't getting assassinated by drones anymore. Because people are watching them, yes.
Okay. So they can't secretly
get taken out.
Yes. Because now, then they're like, oh, the IDF took him out. It's all on the stories. They have all these followers. You've all seen it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll actually follow them. I didn't know that.
That's what I mean. Like, that's the difference between individual action and seeking out.
Yes. Follow her on the gram.
Yeah.
Who's organizing and, you know, what are they asking us to do?
Yeah.
No, you're right. Thanks for, bringing that to my attention.
Redemption art, you guys.
Yeah, Jay's not on a post. He doesn't see the graphics. He can't relate. He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't even post on your Instagram, so literally don't.
I don't post.
I'm sorry I don't post pictures of myself and with a peace sign be like, pro-Palestine. Like, sorry, bitch. Like, no. Like,
but he brings a point that I think you have to be open to acknowledge without
getting defensive. No, for sure. No, I'm defensive over someone who doesn't actively post about things like that. Telling me I need to post things about that.
I do post.
I don't
whether,
know if you need to, but whether, you need to. If you care about it, find leadership and do what they say.
Whether it's as frequent as Casey or as little as Naomi Campbell, who posts every what have you, I think having the conversation, dude, and just being open to the fact that he said it's like, you know, you have to feel some of these things. Mm. And the best way to feel, because we're not in Palestine, I'm not Palestinian, I don't have a single friend over there. I know of some Palestinians virtually that I've connected with, but that's about it. So I can understand that struggle. But him saying, like, you have to feel some of these things. Some of those videos are really graphic, or just seeing like a mom pleading, like, yeah, they kicked me out. Like, that is my house and it's completely bombed because there's an emotion that gets there, or you either feel distraught. You feel like that was too much. I feel too much. Or like, actually, I'm totally depressed. Can't do anything. You kind of seek trying to understand those feelings, because we talk about feeling your feelings. Mm-hmm. So then I think it can translate to something else, whether you continue to like boycott or try to find like a really good post that you'll read, whether you post it or not, and be like, okay, like that is even more fucked up than what I thought. Kind of like what you're saying, you know, you're learning a lot of things. You're learning about apartheid and what have you. And if it wasn't for these conversations or me bringing it up, you've mentioned that, you know, you don't know if you would. You know, you don't know really unless you would come across it, like if J-Lo in her song, her recent song, Palestine, can't get enough, can't get enough. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you wouldn't have. Like, genuinely, if, like, yeah. I wasn't here, Angel's not talking about it, and, you know, if you're not seeing some of these things and you're kind of skipping them, then it's like, how much would it reach you as someone that said they're an empath and is wanting to understand?
Yeah, but I just don't think that I have to subjugate myself to see violence when I can hear stories, I can hear experiences. Like, I feel like I physically don't have to see a mother holding her dead child. Like, I just don't think that that is something I need to see or feel, because I see it. Like, I mean, I know. And, like, especially considering that I know of other genocides and not to bring pop culture into it, but, like, even the Kardashians, you know, they talk about the... what are they? The Armenian genocide. I mean, that's something that I learned about through them. So, like, I can understand what a genocide is, and I can understand what happens in a genocide.
But do you feel it?
I mean, but feel what? Feel, like, being genocide? Like, I don't know what you feel. Yeah.
No, you don't, because you're insulating yourself. But what? That's not the...
That, no. And listen, Diane, I don't know where you're getting that I don't feel it, because like how do you know that I'm not feeling?
Because you're not seeing it.
But just because I don't see it, you think that I can't feel?
Well, I don't think you're special, and I think seeing is believing. And I think you can intellectualize that this is bad, but you won't get angry enough to do something about it unless you sit there and accept it.
I mean, I don't see that, because, like, I'm already telling you, like, the work that I'm trying to do to, like, support Palestine. So it's, like, even, like, turning it back on you guys. Okay, so what? You post every day. You post every once in a while. So what? Like, that's a lot better than someone who is, like, putting their money into it, which you're also doing. Like, I just don't see, like, where the measurement is on, like, caring about something and doing something about it, when also some of these things are happening so far away from me that, like, I physically, myself as a person, cannot help a big thing like this. Like, I can't. Like, there's just no power that I have to change any of this. So, to see graphic material and to feel, I mean, it's not even like I watch that and it makes me feel like, I mean, yeah, obviously I feel bad for them, but it's not like I'm getting in a deeper connection of empathy towards them because I saw them hold a dead child, because I've seen parents that lose their kids. I know the pain that comes along with doing that. And to have that happen during a war seems extremely devastating and very traumatic to be. I don't need to see a school getting bombed for me to know that it's not a good thing. Like, I don't need to see, like, these school shootings and see the inside of the school after it happened to know that there was a massacre in there to feel something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't need to.
What you're describing is desensitization.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur. I think the thing is, like, he mentioned, you know, it's like when you see it, seeing is believing enough to take action. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, why subjugate yourself to, like, things that are just gruesome, that it's like, that can provide just the stress that you're not wanting to deal with, period, right? Which is privilege in itself, that we can just turn our phones off and do that. You know, so just acknowledging that you can do that, I think is cool. So the point I think that he's trying to drive and step in and correct me or whatever, because I understand exactly what you're trying to say, and please correct me if I don't.
I know what you're trying to say, but if I don't, then say
is that, for example, like, you don't need to see it, but have you emailed our representatives?
Oh my God.
Because you
they'll write them for you.
They write because you know we've had conversations and I've told you, you know, it's so easy to just email. Like, this is serious, you know, that I care about this so much. Like, it's just not fair. I'm not asking you and saying like, watch this video, Jorge. Can you see this mother?
Yeah.
But caring enough to see that has gotten so many people to just send emails because they're being like, I'm not a paramedic on the ground. Like, I don't even have $5 to give this fucking lady. And what is that even going to get her? Her kid is dead. Let me, like, send an email and just flood this. Have you been able to do that? So maybe possibly not. And I think the connection is because, once again, it's like there's a possible disconnect. Not that you don't care and you don't feel, but enough to do some of these things. Yes, you're boycotting, right? You don't go to Starbucks either way.
Most people aren't, so.
Yeah, well, you don't go to McDonald's. Wait, you do.
Well, I do. Yes. Well, that's an addiction.
Yeah, you we're go to McDonald's. And we're cutting that. But things like that, right, where it's like they're asking us to boycott these specific, very specific companies, which are like literally McDonald's, Starbucks.
And Starbucks lost like $4 billion.
Yeah. Mm, yeah, so
and is there another one, like another major one?
There's a whole list. Check my Instagram.
There's a whole list. So they're saying like, these are the ones. Don't get into the minuscule ones because I read an article saying like, these are the main ones. Yes, do all these other things. But if you can at least do these big chunk ones, we can promise you we're going to see exactly what we saw happen. Mm-hmm. Starbucks, Morocco shot all of them. They're like, fuck you. Enough. Is it because... have you not been able to do that because you don't have time or you're just learning about it, so it's a lot to process, or you're not as passionate as me and Casey about it, what have you, right? But even you caring about us, I mean, literally on the brink of tears being like, I can't believe that 25,000 people have died, and it's not even like... not even taking into consideration the people that are displaced, but 70% of them are women and men. What do I say over and over? If there's something I am intrinsically connected to is women. So to know that that number is so high and that women just died, just died. And so not to not even be like, I'm going to send an email, right? Mm. So not asking you to post, like, see stuff, but... the connection I think he's trying to make is like, I think when you, it's just there and you see it, you're like, you get angry. You're just like, well, what could I do? And well, they're saying to do email. Oh, okay. They're saying to like boycott these specific things. Like, I'm going to be intentional about it. Or if you can and your pockets allow you, like, find a reliable organization. And, you know, $5 or whatever. Right now they're asking for SIM cards and to activate them for them because... Lord knows that they've torn every down Wi-Fi tower that they could, so they're excommunicated as well. So little things like that, that I think that's the point that I understand.
Because
you know, Liza posts about it and she gets so angry at my sister that this
is like Liza Minnelli.
No, that she is consistently posting out because she understands that she has a big population of white Christians in her circle, and she talks about how none of them are talking about this. Nobody's talking about it. And she's like, what is my role here? And I was like, it's so cool that you bring this up because you have such a unique position now as being someone that has sought this community and you thrive in it. They value you, that you can now kind of confidently say, this is something I care about as someone who is from a marginalized community. And I am asking that you guys listen. And I'm asking that you guys look at my posts. And she's doing that. That's why she's posting every day. Cool. Just like,
she's young too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So things like that. So does that connection make sense at all?
It does. Okay. But like, you're like, guys are forgetting, like, I do see it. Like, I've told you that I've seen it.
Like, why haven't you emailed?
Because I think I've experienced bureaucracy in a way that, for me, I just don't see that as something that is really helpful. Because, I'm sorry, we are going into an election. with a president that is pro-Israel, and that's going to be our only Democratic option. We're going to have Trump as our Republican. And I've told Leslie, so then what? We vote for Biden again just to keep this going? Like, I just feel like there are so many solutions you can come up with that are this and that. But I think to be practical for me, like, I've been to fucking the Capitol in fucking Sacramento, girl. I've gone into the offices to talk about immigration reform where the aide is just staring at you like, I'll definitely relay this message to so-and-so. Like, girl, like, I know, you know what I mean? And I know what it's like to get millions of people riled up to do something, you know? Like, that's why McDonald's and Starbucks have both been like, please stop. And then the government is now passing a law being like, you can't boycott. Like, I get that. But also, like, for you guys to not have, like, a superiority complex, but to kind of just be like, you're not doing this, so, like you need to be doing this in order to do these things. I just don't know if, like, that's – obviously, it's a little extreme, but, like, I just don't think that I need to be doing it the exact same way you do if I personally don't feel like it's going to help the thing. Because you guys send an email, like, oh, well, now I'm very pro-Palestine because I sent an email that was auto-generated for me. Like, I just feel like that's – like, I don't – I don't see that as, like, a personal action. Like, I personally don't see that as something that I am like, oh, yeah, because then what? Oh, I send this email and now I can say, well, what are you doing? I've sent an email.
Well, that's not like, what we're doing.
Like, girl.
We're saying we're part of a group of people, like thousands and thousands of people who are doing it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that's
significant.
Yeah, and that is. And, but, like, you see that as significant. And that's...
And you sound jaded.
I mean, it's my experience of what I've dealt with things like that. Like, with, especially, I think it's just because, like, I've been, since, like, you know, I've had, like, my little enlightenment stuff and, like, working with Black Lives Matter and then working in immigration. Like, there's just a lot of things that happen to you, a lot of experiences that you're put in where you really do see the like, even, like, Angelina Jolie went on this whole thing of why she didn't join the UN was pretty much, like, you're fed this idea of what it is, and then you're there, and then you're like, oh, wait. We can give rights to some people unless there's political interest. Then these people don't really matter. We can highlight these. And then I start feeling like a hypocrite because I go into all of these things to help Palestine, but what am I doing for the Congo? You know, what am I doing for these other apartheids that are happening in other parts of the country? Like, it all just seems, for me, very performative. And I don't want to do things that I feel personally that are performative. I feel like if I'm learning and I'm trying to figure out what the situation is and what I can practically do to help the situation, I think I will. But, like, I'm sorry. Like, think constantly posting every day on my story, reposting your posts, I don't think that's going to help. I'm sorry. Like, it's just I personally don't think it will. And whether you guys think that it's, like, a different thing, like, I feel like I don't need to see these graphic things. I don't need to be deeply immersed in, like, visuals of, like, things that are happening to make me feel reactive enough to do it. Because I feel reactive towards a lot of things. Like, I've already mentioned to you guys, like, how I feel reactive to the things that are happening to our own people here. So it's, like, I don't know. It's just, it's all for me. Seems like it just becomes like, why are you posting or are you not posting? And what does that leave you? And, like, and just so for the record shows, I'm the one that brought the Palestine conversation to the podcast. I'm the one that wanted to talk about it on the podcast because I thought that we should talk about it on this platform. So I do want to talk about it. I do want to have the conversation to enlighten people for them to talk about it. And I'm sorry if my country bumpkin cousin, I post about Palestine and she doesn't know nothing. All she watches is CNN about Israel and Hamas being terrible. Then I'm sorry, my post isn't going to be like, wow, thank you so much for sharing that. A conversation is going to do that. Me talking to them is going to do that. Having a podcast where we can have these different debates and discussions about how I view the world, how you view the world is going to help people through it. Not, I personally do not think that a repost will. So that's why my action was like, let's do a podcast. Let's talk about it. Let's have these different discussions about it, because that's what I felt like would be the most beneficial to the way that I want to convey this message.
Well,
period.
I'm not saying you have to do exactly what we're doing, but we're just using these as an examples because that's what's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, if the fire is lit under you, like you said, and you're not jaded to the situation, you should seek out the organizers and do what they say. Mm-hmm. Bottom line. Otherwise, it is performative. You have to do it as a group. Find people doing a thing and do the thing.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like very valid. But I mean, there's just like a lot of experiences that I've had that just make things jaded. And that's just, I don't know. That's just like what it is. Like, and I would love to be that optimistic, but it's just not my experience in the work that I've been with, you know. It's just, it doesn't look like that, you know?
Well, it's a moral imperative is not about optimism. It's about trying the best, no matter the odds, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, I feel like even,
it's not performative if that's your mindset and you're doing it in a group.
No, and I get it. But like, I think we also talked about it with our Thanks for Your Concern with Ella. We talked about like, there's just so many things that you need to be aware of. Like there's so many
businesses. That's why you have to find leadership you trust, because you cannot be expected to do all the research.
Yeah, no, I know. But like, Casey, I think what you're not understanding is that there's a lot. There's a lot to like everyone's struggle and different struggles happening in the world. That for me, it's very overwhelming to keep up and to, like, let's say choosing like my favorites, right? Like, let's say like I don't support Home Depot because they donated to whatever, to Trump or whatever, you know? So like now I have a long list of all these places that I literally can't shop even though I have no money. So I'm not supposed to go to Walmart because they're fucking funding some fucking gold mine in fucking the middle of Africa. I don't know.
And you're basically saying it doesn't matter because there's so many other problems.
I mean, you can interpret it that way, but I just don't think that. I think as also like privileged people, like it's easy to like say, like just do this, do that, when like you're bombarded with so much of the reality of the world that like it's hard for me to just see these little simple things as like actually changing the world, personally. Well, I don't know.
If we lose hope in collective action, then we've lost.
Yeah. Which is what's so important about liberation and, you know, resiliency and holding resistance in whatever way that you can.
But that's not true, because even me trying to hold it in any way that I can, it's not enough. So it's like, that's not true. Because if that was true, then anyone's sort of action towards oppression would be valid. But it's not.
That's because, why we have to get organized.
But I'm saying like that statement in itself is not true, because it needs to be organized. It needs to be specific. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm doing it in my own way that I feel I can contribute to help, then how is that not valid?
Mm-hmm. Well, you should seek out leadership that you vibe with. You know, the podcast is cool. That's totally invaluable. The fact that you're setting aside this time is like totally epic. But the fact that the topic of conversation at hand is what do we do in the face of jadedness and apathy? I mean, find a way to care and then find leadership that you trust. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll make it less overwhelming to figure out what to do. Because we can't do it alone. No one can build up the platform to change the world alone. All we can do is participate with a much smarter, activer, have set aside all their time and knowledge to this and being like, okay, this is what they're getting all these people to do. You know, I trust their goals, their intentions, their logic makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm in. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, what I was getting to, whether you see it as a valid statement or not, it's essentially what you believe in, right? And so if you believe that, you know, liberation and resistance and being resilient aren't enough, mm-hmm. regardless of how you show up or what have you, then unfortunately, I think the big picture is being missed, where we talk about how everything is connected. And so if you identify with something, whether it's Congo, because you've brought it up, Armenia, because of the Kardashians, what have you, that is going to be tied to the Palestinians. That is going to be tied to people fighting the fight in indigenous in the indigenous land. So I think regardless of all the things happening, all the issues, all the genocides happening around, by identifying with one or what have you, or putting in the work for something, it's gonna make ripple effects, because that's what happens. And so me understanding that, you know, in Mexico things are fucking fucked up, you know, has prepared me and gives me, you know, this hope or what have you, to see everything that was accomplished back in the day, and then to see the revolution in Cuba, which then it's like Palestine. So I can be aware that, you know, there's, I don't know what's happening in Asia, but I'm sure it's fucked up. I know a lot of things are happening in Africa, which is horrible. But by me understanding, like, it's important for me to, like, still have this resistance. And it's important for me because it's the least that we can do. It's what the movements have done in the past. They got organized, they resisted, and that's how shit got done. And that's what it is. You know, I don't feel that I, because I'm just focused on Palestine, I'm ignoring Congo, because it is, it's tied. It's together. It, you know, capitalism continues to grow and grow. And as Casey had mentioned, you know, with Congo, literally we blood on my hands because of the iPhone that I use. That's period. And now I know it's just like, okay, they've mentioned just don't switch to a new model if nothing's wrong with your phone. It's like, right, like now that I know that this cobalt and all of these interests are intricately tied to the powers that be and the capitalism, it doesn't mean I'm negating that there's a lot of more other stuff happening in Africa. But if I choose one thing that I'm going to do, I hope organizing, right, now that everyone's like, yes, let's not buy any more new iPhones, something essentially is going to make that glitch in the matrix. And that's how I choose to believe it, and that's how I choose to see it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not just going to be like, it's too overwhelming. I understand there's so many things, and I'm just not going to choose my favorites, like you mentioned. And it's not like there's favorites, but I'm not just going to choose the one that really gets me, like, here, and just ignore the other ones. I definitely don't see it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to acknowledge that I am not fully aware of all the pain and suffering that people are going through, and that even here, you know, the natives still fighting for the fucking pipeline, fucking North Dakota thing that's happening. It's like, that fight has been going on for so long, and I can feel shitty that I don't read more about it, and I can feel like, damn, I really should sign that petition sooner, like, what have you. But knowing that it's like that resiliency, I know is still occurring and taking place. And so believing it, seeing it, and supporting it is the best thing. And I think, do what works for you. Like Casey said, you know, you can acknowledge, get educated, and then just choose, like, I'm going to maybe read more about this, look up a video, and try to understand how it feels in my body, and then just acknowledge that the world is fucked up, and it's, like, to be in a place that you can do action, whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah, I just feel like in a world where the media is really anywhere, you can look up anything anywhere and learn about it. You pick a country, I'm sure that there is something happening in that country mm-hmm. that is important and not being spoken about in the media. And I feel like there's so much that, like, I think I speak from a perspective of people that might just be overwhelmed by so much that happens, and a guilt with not being able to give the same attention to everything, but then also knowing things that you don't know that are happening as well, yeah. that you learn about later. And having all of my attention and focus on one thing, for me, feels performative when I genuinely do care. I genuinely am, like, empathetic towards the struggle of humanity, but it's, like, towards everybody. So it's, like, I feel it. I try to learn about all of it and try to have some sort of brief knowledge on what's happening. It might not be the details and the years and the the partitions or whatever, but it is something that I do try to learn about a little bit to at least get it. But I know that if I do a deep dive in all of these problems, it's not good for my mental health. It's just, it's not. If
you need to pace it.
Same thing for, like, people who are obsessed with, like, true crime. Like, that messes up your mental state because you're constantly just feeding yourself these negative stories. And I just, in my mental health, don't resonate with things like that. Like, I resonate with stories. I resonate with people speaking about art. We talk about media, people, things like that is what brings my attention. And unfortunately, like, I am not affected. I am affected by seeing violence on TV, but it's not like it's going to activate me any more than hearing someone's, hearing a mom tell her story. I feel like that would affect me a lot more than the trauma porn that is social media.
I feel like you already are activated, right? But just, if you are activated, you know, find your path, like you were saying. Just make sure you're doing it as a collective with whoever you find. If this is important to you, because you bring up a really good point. This isn't the only genocide going on in the world right now. It's not even the worst. And it's not even the beginning of it. It started 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this is a controversial statement, pro-Palestine all the way. But there is a piece of privilege that Palestine's narrative has been elevated in this way. That being said, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because there's so much we can learn mm-hmm. about the global system that generates these genocides on the regular mm-hmm. if we, you know, sit with this. And the fact that U.S. tax dollars directly fund it, it does create an active reason to write our reps, because it is voted on by the Senate and the Congress regularly to keep giving money.
The extra incentive.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Because we're the sole suppliers in terms of money bags.
Mm-hmm. And where I find also, like where, you know, you guys talk about, like, learning about these things, like, you know, you guys do it because there's, like, an interest towards finding that. I like learning kind of how it is connected through governments meddling in these countries, because a lot of the narratives of these wars, it's they're evil and they're going to do this, or they're just innocent people being attacked by these random people, but they forget the strategic political power that right. these places have. And for me, that's a message very important that I would love to figure out and get perfect in my brain so that I can explain it to people. Because
yeah, 100%.
Because this is not going to stop unless you learn why it's happening. Because it just sounds like...
Right. You're right. You're right. What you're saying is 100% true.
It's like, what? Like, I don't know what the narrative is, but it's like Hamas, or like with the whole Russia thing. Like, oh, Russia wants to take Ukraine. Like, oh, how they're so bad. You know, but it's like you forget the political power that... the political interest that the United States has in promoting, because Ukraine was all over the news before as well as like a big reason why the U.S. needs to get behind them because of like the whole invasion. But it's all really just political. I mean, same with like Taiwan. Like, it's all just, there needs to be like, I feel like where I can help is really understanding that and learning that to really educate people than to kind of get stuck on the whole
this one issue.
Yeah.
No, even if the ceasefire happens, the siege lifts, and even if Palestine is liberated, it is sad to think the convo would end there then and there, and it probably would. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It is all connected. There's so much to learn. There has never been social media to elevate a genocide like this ever. Mm-hmm. And now the common folk can learn. Mm-hmm. And settler colonialism is dependent on bringing in foreign immigrants and then prioritizing them over indigenous, but under the ruling class, creating a middle class. What does that sound like? That sounds like the United States, Mexico, and every Latin American country ever. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the Israelis here. Mm-hmm. What can we learn by analyzing the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? How do we decolonize here by looking at that? How do we listen to our indigenous and black folks here? You know, because all of us here are children of immigrants. What the fuck? Are we settlers? Mm-hmm. How do we do that ethically? Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, a through line that connects this conflict to everything going on ever. You know, after World War II, when racism became like bad to do publicly, and colonialism was replaced by capitalism as ruled by the United States economy, poverty was then generated as part of the system, because you need poverty to have labor. Mm-hmm. And then when poverty gets so bad, the poor get violent. So what does the state do? Does it solve poverty by revolutionizing the economic system? No, you get cop city.
Yeah, you
get militarization of police, militarization of the border, because the mm-hmm. poor are coming over the border. And cop city is not just done here in our cities on the border. It is happening in Israel by the IDF. It's happening in Congo by the ruling elites there. It was mm-hmm. done in South Africa during apartheid. Cop city is a global phenomenon that supports capitalism. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 boom. It's all tied together. Mm-hmm. Learning how to liberate them, we can learn how to liberate us. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy.
Yeah. And that's where I want any knowledge that I want to acquire, I want to get perfect there. You know what I mean?
Like, it's crucial.
That's what I feel like. That's where I want to focus any attention that I have towards any of these issues, because I know there's so many that I feel if I understand that one simple concept, then I'd be able to understand all of them as a whole, that it wouldn't be overwhelming, because it would make sense, because this is here, this is there. So of course there's going to be some sort of war. Maybe predict the next one, depending on where fucking, who knows, there's water or something, right? Fucking Iceland is probably next. So who knows? But I appreciate you being here, KC. This was a very long convo. One of our hosts is desperately going to bed. So any final wrap-up words on any of this? Leslie, not you.
I thank you, KC, for all your insight. You have been instrumental for this conversation. Wish we would have had you on the first one, because it could have just been part two. But thank you for sharing your experience. Thank you for all the work you're doing on your platform, for educating myself and educating all your followers and all of that.
And me.
And yeah, and Jay. And so thank you for your patience, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate, Leslie, you being vulnerable, talking about, you know, your connection to liberation and oppression. And Jay, I really appreciate you being really authentic about where you are with the situation, because a lot of people are going to relate. And I really hope the overall convo brings people into a more awakened state, more aware of their place in the world and, you know, what they can do about it. And, you know, in the sense of, let's get organized.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Free Palestine.
Free Palestine. Ceasefire. And fuck Israel?
Yes. And right of return for all Palestinians.
Right of return.
Boycott those bitches. Write and call your reps.
Please. And if you can...
Follow Bissan.
If you can... Follow Bissan. Yeah. And Motaz. And if you can, you know, fact check and verify the charities and organizations. A lot of folks need SIM cards, and apparently it's really easy. Right. So if you can, it's like $20. Please do the research. If you don't want to, you know, do anything else and you have $20 to spare, it's helpful.
Yeah, and don't retweet Kanye West.
Absolutely not.
He's not the one. All right, bye.